Thank you, Bill. Good morning, everyone. It is a great day to be in God's house to worship. I was thinking about Bruce, and I appreciate him leading us in our communion time today. If you're not on the email list for local Christian church, we want to encourage you to do that so you'll know how you can be praying for our church plant in Ashland. If you live in that area or live in northern Hanover or know folks who do, we hope that you will consider or that you'll push your friends and family who live in that area to consider to reach out to Bruce, to get to know he and his family, and then maybe to consider local as their church. We want to grow a vibrant church there in that area. We were at a wedding reception up in Ashland yesterday. Ashland is growing. It's one of the most growing communities in the state of Virginia. And so we want to put a good church there. There are some good churches there. We need more there, because there are people in Ashland who don't know Jesus. And so we want to do that. So reach out to Bruce, let him know that you want to, more information. You want to be praying, and maybe even you'll know some folks who can be part. Maybe it's you who want to be part of something exciting there up in that area. You know, the Super Bowl was a couple months away, or a couple months ago, and yet I find that one of the things that lives on after the Super Bowl are the ads. The popular ones, or the ones that were the most money were spent on, you'll often find trickling back into your television watching, you know, months after the Super Bowl. And so I know I'll be watching baseball or basketball or something on TV, and there will come an ad that I remember, oh yeah, that was in the Super Bowl. I remember that. It's always interesting to, I think more talk goes on the day after the Super Bowl. More talk is about the ads than there is about the game itself, right? And you know, I know a lot of people that they just watch the Super Bowl for the ads and the snacks, you know. And I always find that the way people react to the ads at the Super Bowl are always really interesting. I like it. I like that they always show the bigger movie trailers. You know, you get the longer movie trailers for the big spring movies, the big summer movies. I always like that. But I had two favorites in at this year's Super Bowl, and that was the He Gets Us ads. You remember there were two He Gets Us ads, one in the first half, one in the second half, inviting people to get to know the true Jesus of the Bible. Since that time, I mean, they were out before the Super Bowl, and you'd find them on television occasionally, but now they're popping up more and more and in more places. They were on the video boards during the ACC tournament. Betsy and I were at a Tampa Bay Rays baseball game a couple weeks ago on vacation. During an entire inning, all of the video marquees, all the video advertising boards were He Gets Us, pointing people to get to know who Jesus really is. I think it's pretty awesome. Millions of dollars have been spent on these ads. Millions of dollars. And although the financial backers for this campaign they're supposed to be anonymous, we do know that the good folks at Hobby Lobby are some of the folks who are behind these ads. So if you're a fan of Hobby Lobby, you can understand their love for Jesus and their desire for people to get to know Jesus. The people from Hobby Lobby are also the people who brought to us the Museum of the Bible. Who's anybody been to the Museum of the Bible up in D.C.? All right, let me tell you, friends, I know it sounds like a preacher thing to say, but the Museum of the Bible up in Washington is one of the most awesome places to visit in Washington. If you've never been, you need to go. I'm not kidding. I mean, go to bed early tonight, get up in the morning at 5, drive to D.C. You'll get there about 3 in the afternoon, and then go to the Museum of the Bible. It's amazing. And I'm not saying it because I have to say that. I'm saying it because it really is. I've been 3 times, and I will go again because it's a really, really cool place. That's the people from Hobby Lobby have brought us that. And they're the ones, they're some of the backing to the He Gets Us ad campaign. If you've seen the ads, you know, they're kind of gritty. Most of them are black and white, not entirely. Most of them are black and white, and they're real. They are touching all kinds of topics. And all of them are aimed at getting people to understand that Jesus was a real man at a real time who faced the same real things that you and I face. He gets us. Some of the ads touch on artificial intelligence. Some of them touch on the cancel culture in which we live. Some of them focus on the hatred that is so prevalent in our society. Some of them focus on family. And there's all kinds. You can go on the website, you can go on YouTube, and you can see there's just a whole bunch of them. And I think they're really well done. Some people love them. Some people don't like them at all. I think anytime we can get people thinking about and talking about the true Jesus of the Bible, I think that's a good thing. And so I've been pretty enthused at that opportunity. The He Gets Us advertising campaign is a great catalyst for conversation. Whether it's talking about the content of the ads, or whether it's talking about, you know, whether you like them or not, or if you're specifically talking about how Jesus addressed a specific topic in his culture, it's the same things we face today. I think those ads provide good material for meaningful conversation. We need to engage people in talking about Jesus. We need to engage people in talking about Jesus. People need Jesus. The vast majority of the people who need Jesus are not going to just simply pick up a Bible and go, oh, I think I'm going to read from that today. I've heard of it before. They're not going to do that. The vast majority of people who need Jesus aren't going to spend the night in a hotel room and open up a nightstand and pull that Bible out and start reading it. Nobody searches on the radio anymore for music. You already got your own music. So nobody's searching the radio. Oh, that sounds like a cool song and it's a Christian. That's not happening anymore. The vast majority of people who need Jesus need a friend, a loved one, a trusted person to talk to them about Jesus. And I think the He Gets Us campaign provides some good topics to talk to people about when it comes to our Lord, when it comes to Jesus. In fact, I see the ads of kind of having this dual purpose. They both remind us of how we are to emulate Jesus. I need reminders on how I need to be more like Jesus. So when I see one of those ads, I'm like, yeah, I need to be doing that. Gosh, I'm reminded of how I need to be more like Jesus. And the ads also attempt to correct misconceptions that people have about Jesus. There are lots of misconceptions in our world today about who Jesus was and what he taught and what all. There's lots of them. And I think these ads help address them. They start a conversation at the very least. Now, if you'd like to read more about He Gets Us, we've included today on the outline. If you're an outline person, you've already seen that. If you're not, if you look at the outline today, you see a QR code on the outline. If you'd like to order the book called He Gets Us, right there, small little book. I think it's like $10. You can order that by clicking on the QR code there. Short little read. It has commentary by Max Licato. I know lots of folks love Max Licato, and so you can get all kinds of good stuff related to He Gets Us. If you want to order that book. If you don't know how to use a QR code, and we probably have some people in this room who don't know how to use a QR code, ask any of those children who were up here on stage earlier. They know all that stuff. I didn't even know how to spell QR code until the pandemic. You know what I mean? And then the pandemic comes along, and you go out to eat, and there were no menu. They didn't give you a menu anymore. What'd they do? There was a QR code on the table, and now we all are QR code experts. But if you don't know how, ask a 10-year-old, and they will help you. Jesus gets us. He made us. He created us. He gets us. And it's a joy to tell people how God entered this world in human flesh to teach us absolute truth and to demonstrate to all people his love, his compassion, and his empathy. For me, that's the prevailing theme of the book of Hebrews. If you haven't read that in a while, it's a great book to read. It's the He Gets Us book of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 2 says, for this reason he, Jesus, had to be made like them, meaning us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. He gets us. He does indeed. One of the ads that aired during the Super Bowl, one of the He Gets Us, is Be Childlike. Be Childlike aired during the Super Bowl. I think it's wonderful. This is a really short one. We're gonna show you one each week. And this one's a really short one, so you got to watch. If you don't remember it, if you haven't seen it, I don't even think it's 30 seconds long. And so check out the screen for Be Childlike.
What a wonderful world this would be. kids.
If I could see the world through the eyes of a child. Don't you just love kids? You know, kids are I've seen them up here on stage and doing their thing. You know, God's not dead. It's wonderful. Thomas Lamance tells a story about his granddaughter Barbara. She's a second grader. And she was in class. Her teacher was doing a weekly safety lesson, and the teacher, or second grade teacher, encouraged all the kids to go home and make sure their home smoke alarms were operating. And Barbara raised her hand. She says, "I know ours works. My mom tests it every time she cooks." I love that, and I hope that doesn't apply to anybody in this room here today. Kids say, you know, they say what they mean, and they mean what they say, and I think that's precious. Jesus tells us that true faith is childlike faith. We all know Jesus' love for children. Unlike the prevailing wisdom of the day, to Jesus, children were more than be seen and not heard. Jesus valued children. He loved on children. He blessed children. He wanted to be around children. He healed children. He raised at least one child from the dead. He used a child's lunch to feed 5,000 people. Jesus loved children, and he utilized them as role models for us old, cranky, stuffy old people. We see this in the book of Matthew. Matthew records it this way. He says, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child to them and placed the child among them. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children,'" listen, "you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Yike. "Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." I think we all know, all children are not alike. All children are not the same. Ask anybody who has, you know, multiple children in their home. No two children are alike. No child is perfect. You know, sometimes our culture says children are the paragons of, no, they're not. Sometimes they're rotten. We get that. But at the same time, not every toddler is terrible. You know, not every 2-year old is terrible. You know what I'm saying? Jesus doesn't put labels on children. Jesus looks at children and pulls out the qualities that are most admirable, most godly, and he encourages us to adopt the same. The disciples come arguing about who is the most important among them. Who does that? Who does that? Especially who does that in front of Jesus? Kids don't care about that. They want to know. They don't care who's most important. They want to know that they're safe and that they're loved. Whether you are rich or poor or short or tall or black or white or male or female, kids don't care. They want to know that you're safe and that you love them. Jesus reminds us that childlike faith is humble, teachable, and unpretentious. Now, I'm not going to break down each of those words. I want us to see this as a reflection on what Jesus is teaching. Those are the words that come to mind when Jesus compares the faith of a child to the boastful, rigid, arrogant, stressful, bureaucratic faith that was being exhibited by the disciples and the religious smarty pants of the day. Our faith is built on a very simple relationship. God is God, and we are not. You got it? Not too complicated, is it? God is God, and we are not. That should always put us in a childlike posture of humility, teachableness, and modesty. The psalmist writes, "Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high?" That's a rhetorical question because you already know the answer. Who is like the Lord our God? Nobody. He alone is the one who sits enthroned on high. He calls us his children because that's who we are. And he uses children to show us how to approach him in our faith. I think it's fascinating that out of Yale and Oxford came some very interesting studies. Psychologist Paul Bloom at Yale reports that when children are directly asked about the origin of animals and people, they tend to prefer explanations that involve an intentional creator, even if the adults who raise them do not. In other words, children tend to hold a concept of God even if their parents are atheists. Psychologist Justin Barrett at Oxford shares the same. Even if a group of children were put on an island and they raised themselves, I think they would believe in God. It appears that we have to be educated out of the knowledge of God by secular schools and media. That probably doesn't surprise anybody in this room. It's remarkable, but it probably doesn't surprise any of us. King Solomon said that, he said long ago, that God placed eternity, God placed a knowledge of the eternal in every single human heart. We have to be taught out of it. And with that humble, unpretentious spirit, Jesus utilizes children to show us how we are to love and how we're to serve others. That's what makes that little ad so precious to me. It's just children loving on children, children loving on others, children loving on dogs, a little girl with an umbrella over the cat. I mean, wonderful things. Children helping other children, children expressing unabandoned love toward other people. That video of those boys running down the sidewalk and hugging each other, I mean, that's just amazing. That went viral in September of 2019. So that's been around a little while. Pre-pandemic, September 2019. It was an overnight sensation, exploded on the internet. Millions of people have seen that video of those, of Maxwell and Finnegan embracing on the sidewalk. Their parents were interviewed on the morning talk shows, you know. The message was simple. They love each other. Color didn't matter. Money didn't matter. Clothes didn't matter. Two buddies meeting and embracing on the sidewalk in New York City. Be childlike. That doesn't mean you have to go around hugging everybody. You can, don't be creepy, but you can hug people. That's all right. But that's not, it doesn't have to be that. You don't be running down the sidewalk and hugging everybody you see. But do the people you know that you love them? Do the people you know that you love them? Do the people you encounter each day, and we all encounter lots of people in the course of a day, do they know that you love them? In childlike fashion, we mirror Jesus every day. Do people see Jesus in us? Now, there's another instructive interaction that Jesus has regarding children. It was read for you just a little while ago by one of our children. I'm going to read it again. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He got really mad. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. It's another beautiful picture of Jesus extending the most precious teaching of all and using children to teach it. Childlike faith is trusting and eager and expectant. That's why they run to Jesus. That's why moms and dads were bringing children to Jesus. They knew that good things come when Jesus is in your life. Good things come when Jesus is in your children's lives. Those are good things for us to remember when it comes to our faith, because maybe some of us in this room, but lots of folks out in the world, too many people believe that God doesn't have time for me. Well, actually, God can't wait to place his hands on you and bless you. Jesus has more important things to deal with. Well, no, actually, you're at the top of his list. Jesus, he was always labeling people. No, he only labeled those who thought that religion about God was more important than a relationship with God. He gets us. He doesn't push us away. He draws us to him. He's the most magnetic personality of all time, drawing people to him. When my friends, the Sanitaries, moved to Richmond, how long ago? How long y'all been here? What have you been here? 19 years. Okay, they were, little Miss Hayden wasn't even born yet. Caleb was their son, and he is still their son, I think. There you go. I think, although he's, you know, whatever. Anyway, he was just a little dinky dude when they moved here. Really small little fella. And, and it was great. They'd come over to our house, or maybe we'd watch them while mom and dad went and did something, whatever. And Caleb's famous for, when he was a little fella, he would walk into the kitchen and he would come up to me and say, "Can I have some money?" I'd be like, "What? Yeah, can I have some money?" I'd be like, "Well, I'd look, you know, sure, here's a couple quarters." Or sometimes I'd look at him and go, "No." Sometimes I'd look at him and I'd say, "Does your dad know you're begging people for money?" You know, I mean, now Caleb's an electrician making more money than all of us. So you need to be asking him for money when you see him again. But you know what? That's the kind of expectant faith that I want to mirror with God. God, I need this. Sometimes his answer will be no. Sometimes his answer will be yes. Sometimes his answer will be not yet. But it's really not, it's hard. This is childlike. It's really not about getting what I want. It's about sharing my heart, my wants, my desires, my needs, my hurts, my joys, my pains, my excitement. It's about me sharing everything with the one who loves me more than anyone ever has or ever will. I love this popular internet poem. It's not really a poem, but that's what they call it. I looked up the author. The author is the famous Anonymous, so I don't know who wrote it. But you can find this. I think it's pretty prevalent, but I'd never seen it before. And it goes like this. It's just a fascinating look at children. When I look at a patch of dandelions, I see a bunch of weeds that are going to take over my yard. Kids see flowers for mom and blowing white stuff you can wish on. When I look at an old drunk and he smiles at me, I see a smelly, dirty person who probably wants money and I look away. Kids see someone smiling at them and they smile back. When I hear music I love, I know I can't carry a tune and don't have much rhythm, so I sit self-consciously and listen. Kids feel the beat and move to it. They sing out the words, and if they don't know them, they make them up. When I feel wind on my face, I brace myself against it. I feel it messing up my hair and pulling me back when I walk. Kids close their eyes, spread their arms, and fly with it until they fall on the ground laughing. When I see a mud puddle, I step around it. I see muddy shoes and clothes and dirty carpets. Kids sit in it. They see dams to build, rivers to cross, and worms to play with. I wonder if we're given kids to teach or to learn from. No wonder God loves little children. We're challenged today to be more like children, to be more like children in our faith. We're challenged to be more like children, and we're challenged to do everything we can in our power to bring children to Jesus. That's one of our focuses today. You heard that from, you know, what, Glenda the Good. She said that 75% of Christians in America today came to faith before the age of 12. Wow. That means we got to get them while they're young. That's why today and for this next month, our church focuses on children's ministry. Children's ministry is the largest volunteer ministry in our church. It utilizes teachers and helpers, nursery workers, check-in staff, worship leaders, popcorn makers, setter-uppers, taker-downers, musicians, painters, prayer warriors, you name it. We need folks serving in this ministry. We need folks making it easy for children to hear, to learn, and to accept the most important message they will ever encounter in their entire life. We need to be encouraging the children of this church. We need to be encouraging the children in our neighborhoods. Do they have a church home? Do they know Jesus? Do they know Christian adults who love them, that care for them, that know their names? Are we praying for them? We are past the days, my friends, and I makes me sad, but we are past the days when everyone had at least a little bit of working knowledge of the Bible. Or when you said Jesus, they knew it as something other than a curse word. Or they knew enough about God to maybe be dead. Those days are gone. We have to assume the world around us, the children around us, that they know nothing. And that's why they need Jesus. So be childlike. And be sure that children are never hindered from getting to know Jesus. I want to close today with just another illustration from a staff kid. This is a staff grandkid. But Sherry's granddaughter, Myra, was up here on Friday. Myra's 10 years old. She was one of these lovely people that were up here today. And Myra was here Friday. I had a funeral in the afternoon and then a wedding rehearsal after that. And so between the two, I was working in my office. And Myra was dropped off by her mom. I think she was going to spend the night with Gigi. And so she came up and was up here for a little while. Myra brought into the office with her a stuffed seahorse, a stuffed teal seahorse. And I love stuffed animals. So I was asking, hey, tell me about it. And she said, oh, yeah. She said, I got him at the Virginia Aquarium. My class went down to the Virginia Aquarium. I said, oh, that was really nice. That was a cool thing to buy. She said, yeah, my mom gave me $20 and said I could spend it on anything I wanted. I went, wow, and you bought a teal seahorse. She was excited, so I was excited for her. And it was, yes, so she took the $20 that her mom gave her to buy anything she wanted for herself. She bought a teal seahorse. She said, oh, well, Mr. Rick, she said, Mr. Rick, and I'm gonna give it to my cousin Willow. I was like, daggone it. I get mad when Kroger cheats me out of 20 cents on a box of Cap'n Crunch. You know what I'm saying? Dang. And here's a child showing me how I should live my life. Something that she could have done for herself, she did for someone else. I mean, that childlike faith. I want to be more like a child. Today, as you leave this place and you reflect on what Jesus has said to you today, my prayer is that he has said to all of us today, you need to be more childlike. You need to be more like a child in your faith. You cannot have part of my kingdom if you are not more childlike. I hope you heard that message today. And I also hope you heard that message. We need to do everything we can to bring children to Jesus. And whatever role you might play in that or could play in that, I hope you'll explore that with our staff, with our volunteers, and find out what your role could be in bringing children to Jesus. There's nothing more important this church has done over the last 120 years, and there's nothing more important we will do for the next 120 years than bring children to Jesus. What is the Lord whispering in your ear today? And may you listen and follow. Let's stand. Let's worship with the team.